This morning, if you have your Bibles and like to turn with me or just follow along on the screen, from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 and 15 through 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And then verse 15 through 18. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word for this day and for all that You have blessed us with. Lord, as we come now, as we seek to understand You more clearly, may we open our hearts and minds and be led by Your Spirit. May all that is spoken this day, Lord, be Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a new year, isn't it? I don't know, some of you, if you're like me, I'm kind of glad for a new year. Last year had its difficulties. But what year hasn't? What year hasn't had its difficulties? And folks, we can be sure that this one is going to have its difficulties for us as well. It's just part of living in a fallen world, isn't it? Where sin is just part of the human existence, because not one of us, even the best of us, even the most Christian in all the world, is perfect and without any fault. So we can be sure that it's going to happen. But nevertheless, when a new year comes, we always make resolutions, don't we? How many in here have made some type of revolution? Resolution. Anybody? There's some people. About everybody at some point in time in their life has made some type of resolution for the new year, or at some point in time, whether it's to lose weight or to do whatever. We all have made resolutions at some time or another. Most of the time, these resolutions take the form of "I am going to," or "I will," or "I would like to." It's all about I, about me. But rather, I would suggest that our resolutions this year, revise them somewhat, make new ones even, to say something like, "God has chosen me too." And then you fill that out. There is a wide range of things that God chooses people to do. He chooses some of us to be preachers. Why, I don't know. I surely could have picked a whole lot of better people than me. He chooses some of us to be Sunday school teachers. He chooses some of us to be music professionals and play music and teach music and sing. Some of us, he calls us and chooses us to be witnesses for Him in the workplace, in our jobs where He's put us. And some of us He's called to be doctors and nurses and those type things. God has chosen us for many things. God has been choosing people since the very beginning of time. Since He put human beings on this earth, He's been choosing people for various things. Noah. Some of us, we've read the Bible. I've started back this year reading the Bible. I haven't done it the last couple years on the daily Bible readings where you read through it in a year. I know some are still doing it and doing it again. Well, I'm amazed this week as you go from day one of the reading to the creation and everything is perfect and wonderful and good and man is living in harmony with God in the garden where everything is provided, to by day four, I think it was, or three, he's already, humanity is already to such a sinful point that he's sending the flood to wipe things out and so he can start over with a chosen people. It didn't take long for that to happen in the scope of the Bible. I know there was no telling how many years in between that time, but it's amazing how quickly that happened. He called Noah and chose him specifically for the purpose of building that ark and bringing his family and the animals that were there into the ark so that they would be protected and they would be saved from the flood. He chose Abraham generations later. He chose Abraham out of all the people to be a blessing to the nations of the world and to everybody from that day forward. He chose Moses to lead an oppressed people out of slavery and bondage and into a promised land. He chose David to be a king among all kings, a king whose throne would never go vacant and from whom the line, the Messiah would come from. He chose Jeremiah. In particular, Jeremiah is an interesting one for me, that he chose him even before the Scripture says right there in about verse 3 or 4 of the first chapter, he says he chose him, he knew him before he formed him in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And then he says, before you were born, I sanctified you. So even before that, even before birth, God was choosing. He later chose people like John the Baptist, to preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that they needed to repent. He chose a hothead, hard head like Peter to be the rock and the foundation, the cornerstone upon which the church and the community of faith would be built. He chose Paul, a murderer, and someone who persecuted the Christians and was single-handedly responsible for many of their deaths and imprisonment. He chose somebody like him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, if you notice about these people that I've chosen, this is just a few of the dozens and dozens we could go through the Bible and pick out. When he chose people, or even a nation like Israel, when he chose them, God did not choose them just so that they would be a nice little pretty ornament sitting on a shelf somewhere. He didn't choose them to be a wallflower or a hood ornament. He chose them for action, for a purpose. You know, there's nothing wrong with nice things sitting on the shelves at home. We've got things sitting around at home. Most of you do. Little things that mean things to you and are important and decorate. Nothing wrong with that. But they are of very little practical value, aren't they? God did not choose us for that purpose. He chose us so that we would be His hands and His feet in this fallen world. God has chosen me and God has chosen you. Each and every one of you. God has chosen you. I have no doubt about that. I am supremely confident that you are chosen of God. I don't know exactly what each and every one of your purposes are and your callings are, but God has chosen you, folks. In this Scripture this morning, there are three things. While you need to be working out your calling and what God has called you to do, you need to be seeking Him out on those things. There are three things that I want to lift out of this passage that God has chosen us to. He has, first of all, chosen us to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Look at verse 4 again, if you have your Bible open. He says, just as He chooses us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Holy and without blame before Him in love. That's a pretty doggone high calling, if you ask me. How many of you have reached that calling? How many of you have perfected that calling? Am I the only one? I'm sure, right? No, obviously not. I'm nowhere close to that. I'm not even in the ballpark, so to speak. But God has chosen us because we're looking at, when we say we can't reach that or haven't reached that, but we're looking at, look at the way the words are phrased in that verse. It says, chosen to be holy and blameless in love, in His presence. In His presence, in love. Now, that love we're talking about there, that's that Greek word agape, which is the word that we usually refer to and talk about as Christian love. And it's a love that is without merit. It's a love given that is not deserved, freely given, even though we don't deserve it. And so the love that it's talking about there is not that we are supposed to be perfect in loving everyone, because we can't do that. Not in this lifetime. Only in the life to come. We can't be perfect in our own love. The only perfection that we can find is in His love. You see, because His sacrifice was perfect. Because He loved us perfectly. And the love that we can be perfect and blameless in is only because He is standing before us. Jesus Christ stands before the Father on our behalf and saying, I know Him. He's covered. My blood was shed for Him. That's the only way we can stand perfected in the love of Jesus Christ. That's a high calling. And we are called to accept that. It is not bestowed upon us randomly, but intentionally when we open our arms and our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be holy and blameless. We are called to lay our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ and invite Him into our lives. The second calling, the second thing that we are chosen to, is to be sons and daughters. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. There's an old ugly word for us Methodists in that passage there, predestined. You know, we kind of shy away from that word and we run from it because, you know, we're not Presbyterians and we don't believe in predestination. But there that word is right here in the Scriptures, you know. So what do we do with it? We have to face it and recognize that God has predestined each and every one of us to come to a relationship with Him. I don't believe in the kind of predestination that's talked about where God looked down and in the beginning of time and said, this person, this person, this person, this person will come to know me. I just don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong, and if I am, God forgive me. But the predestination we're talking about here is that we are predestined to come to that relationship with Him. Not everyone obviously will, but that is God's desire, and that is the reason that He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross. I just can't imagine that God would send His only Son to earth for just a select group of people. That He sent His Son for that purpose for all humanity. And that everyone can come before Him and stand before Him cleansed if they call upon the name of Jesus. We are called to be sons and daughters. Word uses the word adoption there. Now, some of you, I don't know of anybody in here that's adopted or that has been through that procedure or anything right offhand. But you know, Robert, yes, you that's right. I wasn't thinking. You know, adoption. We think about that in the terms of the Scripture and what happens. You know, God is choosing us. Robert, your grandfather. I know it was your grandfather that adopted you. Actually, your grandfather chose to adopt you. I mean, there's something special about that whole idea of being chose out of, you know, any group of people, you know, any other children. You know, a person could be chosen to be adopted. And a lot of us have experienced this kind of thing with stepchildren or stepfamilies or in-laws or that type thing. You know, I think about our own family, Renee and I, and our children. You know, Kelly's not my natural daughter. She's my stepdaughter, if that's the right word. But I still love her as my daughter. I've chosen to love her. I still love mine, not any less. I still love them, but you know, I got to love them. They're mine. I'm responsible for them. I love them anyway. It's the same way with Renee. She's chosen to love them. She's chosen to love them. God has chosen to love us, folks. He didn't have to, but He's chosen to love us. Many of you have had to choose to love your in-laws. Sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. I hope that was somebody just clear. Just had a frog in their throat there. Not something you need to confess there or anything. But God has chosen us, folks. He's chosen to love us. He's adopted us. You've been chosen by God. What a wonderful thing to hold on to. What a wonderful inheritance to possess, being an adopted child of God. He's chosen you to be a son or a daughter. The third thing that He's chosen for is to know His purpose for each one of us. God has chosen you to know what purpose it is that He has for you. Verse 17 and 18, I'll look at those again if you want to read with me. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God has called us to know that purpose. God didn't call us. He didn't save us. He didn't send His Son Jesus just so that we could know that Jesus is there and that we could just come to church and sit here for a few minutes every week and so that we could say, oh well, God knows me and I know God. But He called us for a purpose so that we would know His will for us. And folks, if you don't know God's will for you today, seek it out. And you do that by a number of different ways. You do it through obedience, I think, first and foremost. That was the way Abraham understood God's will for him, is that the first thing that Abraham did was to be obedient to what God said. He heard God's voice and he was obedient to what God said. Now you're saying, well, I haven't heard God's voice. Well, I can't say I've heard an audible voice either. But if you'll pick this book up right here, the Bible, and you will read through it, and you will study over it, and you will pray over it, and you will seek God over it, folks, God will begin to reveal His will to you. He may not do it all at one time. Heaven knows that isn't what happened to me as I was called to the ministry. I fought with that and came up with every possible explanation and reason and alternative that I could. Wouldn't even think about it to begin with. Just put it completely out of my mind. And it's the same way with the areas that God calls us into. Maybe God is just calling you into a real relationship with Him today. Maybe you just had a surface relationship. Maybe you've just done the lip service and come to church and said, you know, when somebody asked, are you a Christian? Said, yeah, because, you know, I believe in God. Well, folks, God is calling you today and He has chosen you to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Now, you can say no because God, somehow, somewhere in His infinite wisdom, He decided to give you and me free will. Now, I wouldn't have done that if I'd have been in charge, of course. But that's what He decided to do. He decided to give you the ability to say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord, or I don't really care. But believe me, if you've said I don't really care, you've said no in the worst way. We need to be understanding of that call of what He's chosen us to do. Chosen us to be devoted and obedient, prayerful, studious, and worshipful. God has called us to understand His will through those things. You know, being chosen by God is something really special. These people in the Bible that were chosen by God were special people. Folks, you, each one of you, are special. God told Jeremiah, as I quoted earlier, He told him that before he was even formed in the womb, he knew him. Before he was born, he had chosen him. And folks, God has chosen you too. He has something for you, a purpose for you, right here in this place, right here in this community, or wherever you may live. He has chosen you for something. And I just fully believe it's not for just a few minutes here and there. I believe it's for dedication and it's for sharing what God has done for us. And we're in a new year here. Maybe you've looked around over the last year. Brennan and I were talking yesterday over a cup of coffee, if you can imagine that. We were talking and he says, what you going to preach on? I said, well, how in the world would I know? It's just Saturday. So, you know. But no, I did actually. I had an idea what I might preach on. And I was telling him about God choosing and chosen too. And he said something. I wish he was here this morning. I didn't know he was going back with the kids this morning. I was going to ask him to say it, and I hadn't told him that because I didn't want him planning it too much. But he was talking about, said, when I realized that God had chosen me, he said, it gave purpose and meaning to my life. He said, I had wondered all these years and from here to there, and my thought was, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And he said, when he realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for him, he realized that there was purpose in his life and that he had a calling and that God had something for him. Folks, he has the same thing for each and every one of us, regardless of what our profession may be. He has called us to be his hands and his feet, his witnesses in the world in which we live. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to move from just being to doing. We are chosen. Make another resolution this new year, or make your first resolution this new year. Make it and start it out by saying, God has chosen me too. And see how that works out. See how God will open your heart and your understanding to that will. See how God will change your life in this new year. Emily mentioned how communion is a chance to start over. It's a chance to remember what God has done for us and to renew that covenant of faith that God established through Jesus Christ. And we can do that as we remember that sacrifice that Christ made on the cross and how through that sacrifice we are able to stand worthy before our Lord and Savior, before our God, because our Lord and Savior stands with us. I invite you this morning, as we join together in communion, that you make that resolution as you come forward and as you take the bread and as you dip it in the cup. Seek out God to what He has chosen you to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We offer ourselves in obedience and humility before you for your work and your service. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our desires. You know our very needs. And you know the things that keep us from coming closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that as we enter this new year, as we move into this new year, that you will break down all those barriers, that you will give us forgiveness for each other and any that may have wronged us. Lord, may we not end this year with anything that hinders us and keeps us from coming close to your throne. Lord, as we approach you today, may you touch us through your Spirit and help us to see what it is you've chosen us for. All this we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Tyler. On the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us, after the supper was over with, while they were all close friends and companions for the past 3 years sitting around that table, Jesus did something different that night after the Passover meal. After the supper was over, he took the bread and gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he passed it to his disciples and said to them, "Take, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the bread was passed around, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and he said to his disciples, "Take, this is my blood, which was shed for you, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you come together in my name, do this in remembrance of me." Today, I invite you to come to the Lord's table, to come into the Lord's presence, to seek Him out and allow Him to speak to your heart and tell you what it is that you are chosen to, and you fill in the blank. Come to the Lord's table.